You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
He will be on the call on ESPN Radio. He is PJ Carlissimo. Good enough to give us some time to break it down. PJ, it's Chris Carlin here in New York City. Appreciate it. How are you?
Excellent, Chris. How you doing?
Doing outstanding, PJ. And, you know, when you watched, you did the game last night. Give me what your impressions were, what Milwaukee was so much better at, and how they didn't let any of the net mini runs kind of get to them as they did the night before.
Well, the first thing is there's something about five-serve form that the Nets don't like. I don't know what it is, but, I mean, they struggle in that building for whatever reason, and I got to give a lot of credit to the Bucks. I thought that the first thing they did, which has been really important, they limited their three-point shots. It's strange. Like, in the three wins, the Nets are, like, taking 40 or more threes and shooting a really good percentage. And in the three losses, they're down right around 30 three-point attempts. So they're limiting their three-point shots. And for whatever reason, again, with that, when they take the lesser amount of threes, they're not shooting as good a percentage. So a combination of things are happening. I think that, first of all, they had misses on the threes. There were 12 steals by the Milwaukee defense and six block shots. And what that did more than anything else was got them out in the open floor. It got Giannis with the chance to get to the rim. There was three or four, you know, block charge calls, but Giannis, the last two games, has been the most disciplined in terms of just passing up those threes that they seem to be baiting him into with a lot of regularity in the first four games. So I don't think he took a three last night. So he has his head down. He's going to the rim because of the misses and because of the block shots and the steals and some turnovers. They played more open floor than they've been able to play in a long time, and that was with the Buck three-point shooters missing everything. I mean, if they ever would start making their threes, it'll really open up the floor for Giannis. But I just think that defensively, they did a really good job. KD obviously cooled off, may have been tired, no second guessing. They needed him for every second of those 48 minutes to win Game 5. But at times last night, he looked tired in terms of missing shots, and James looked tired. James moved better, shot the ball better, James Harden did. But I have to think there was some carryover from the 48 and 46 minutes that those guys had to go to get that win in Game 5. Giannis, you know, shooting a good percentage, not shooting threes, and Chris Middleton had a better than all-star game. I mean, he was excellent. It was funny because three different times in the game, they trailed the whole game, but the Nets cut it to five late in the second quarter, and he made two threes to get it back up to 11 at the half. In the end of the third quarter, he cut it to five again. He made three straight twos. This is Chris Middleton. Mm. And finally, in the fourth quarter, they cut it to five. And on an inbounds pass, tough call, he fouled him on the three-point shot. And it was funny because as the referee was going over to administer the call at the table, James Harden's walking along with him saying, no, he just faked. And, you know, the king of baiting you into those fouls and getting to the foul line for three, James was arguing the case. But Chris Middleton was excellent. So they were able to overcome a terrible three-point shooting night and just a real solid win for Milwaukee. The game just never developed the way I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be a elimination game, sixth game. It was going to be a bloodbath, and it really wasn't. It was both teams kind of walked it up the floor, and it didn't turn out to be the kind of game we had anticipated.
Okay, so going into Game 7, what kind of game would you anticipate?
Well, the first huge advantage, and I can't tell you why, but these teams have played nine times now, and the home team has won every game. The three games in the regular season and the six games in this series, the visiting team has yet to find a way to win. So that's the first advantage for Brooklyn. I think the second advantage is Kevin Durant. There's little doubt that he's not going to have a really big game. That's what he does when it's a big game. So I expect him to play really well. I think there's a little bit of pressure on Giannis to answer that. I mean, the two best players have got to. I don't think they're going to decide the game, but Giannis needs to. He doesn't have to score the same amount of points or do, you know, everything that, that KD necessarily does. But Giannis needs to play like one of the best players in the league. And then I think if that happens, then I think the second and third scorers are going to decide the game. That's got to be James Harden and perhaps Joe Harris. You know, Jeff Green was unbelievable the other night, but Drew Holiday's got to shoot it better. I'm confident Middleton will play well. I'm confident James Harden, if his you know, leg allows him to, I'm confident he's going to have a good game. But I think Joe Harris has got to play like he's played for most of the year, and especially like he's played at home. And Drew has played well, but he hasn't shot it well. I mean, their whole team, they're under 30% from three in this series, Chris. It's unbelievable. This is a team that was number five in the league in three-point shooting and took a good chunk of them, 37 a game. They're down like in the low 30s attempting them, and they're shooting 28%. And I don't think Milwaukee can win in Brooklyn without a bunch of threes, and they certainly can't shoot 28% if they're going to win the game.
PJ Carlissimo joining us. He will be on the call for Game 7 of the Nets and Bucks tomorrow on ESPN Radio. When you look at Harris, PJ, are you seeing anything that's different, or is it just he's missing and he's in a little bit of a rut right now?
Yeah, I think that's exactly what it is. He's just too good a shooter. I think he's so much improved in terms of putting the ball on the floor. You know, he's so used to people running at him now. I think he's gotten better. He was never a bad ball handler, but, I mean, he's really good now, putting it on the floor, finishing at the rim, you know, doing good things. So I think he's playing well. I think he's battling. He's just missing shots, which is really strange. But, I mean, join the crowd. Pat Connaughton goes 0 for 5 last night. I think Drew Holiday was 1 for 10. We're talking, you know, guys that shoot 40% from three or better, and they can't make anything. But Joe's going to get shots. I mean, when you play with KD, when you play with a healthy James Harden or Kyrie, you're gonna get shots. And he's reliable. I think he's going to play very well tomorrow. I just think he's too good a shooter, and he's played better. I mean, most everybody does, but he's certainly played better in Barclays than he's played on the road.
Yeah, given the minutes for KD, you touched on this. How concerned would you be with another short turnaround for KD and for James Harden and really having enough in the tank down the stretch?
Well, I'd be more concerned with James because I just don't know his status. I mean, we talked to, you know, Steve Nash, who, by the way, is not getting credit for the job he's done. I mean, the things that he's had to deal with, and he's just done it kind of matter-of-factly, like this is no big deal. I've been doing this my whole life. I mean, you can't be surprised knowing the person and knowing the player and the basketball IQ. But, I mean, he's done a magnificent job. But talking to him the other day, you know, we were saying, did you think about maybe, you know, resting James for Game 6 and roll the dice, hope you can get a win in Milwaukee, but if not, you'll have a healthier James. And he kind of laughed and he said, no, he said it really wasn't a conversation. James decided he was going to play Game 5. James decided he was going to play Game 6, and James is going to decide, you know, he knows what a good player he is, and he knows how committed he is to winning. So it was kind of funny to hear Steve say it, because you could imagine Mike D'Antoni saying the same thing about Steve not that long ago. So I think James will play well. I really do. I think Kevin will be fine. James is a concern just because of that leg. You just don't know what he's going to be like, and he's played pretty good minutes in two games. I wasn't even sure he was going to come back or when he was going to be able to come back. He's played big minutes. Kevin is superhuman. He'll play whatever Steve needs him to play. I don't envision him playing 48, but I've got no way in knowing that. But I wouldn't be concerned with Kevin. Kevin will be there, and he's in really good shape, and he's used to playing big minutes, particularly in these kind of situations.
While you mentioned that you didn't think the Durants and the Giannises are necessarily going to determine this game, does Durant have to have a game like he did the other night? Does he have to put up ridiculous numbers again, or is that too much to ask?
No, well, I don't think anybody – I don't think you're capable of having it. I don't know that we'll see one of those games for a couple more years. It got lost in the shuffle. I was talking to ESPN Memphis the other day. I said, hey, guys, if – Jonas got 17 rebounds, you'd be talking about that. It'd be great. If Ja got 10 assists, it would be great. How about on top of that, the block shots, the steals, the excellent defense, making every shot, including some threes that down the stretch were unbelievable. I mean, and play 48 minutes. I honestly think it was one of the best games I've ever seen played, complete game. I mean, he played both ends of the floor. It would have been a great game if he just scored those points. Forget the rebounds, forget the assists, forget the blocks, forget the steals, forget the pressure shots he made. I mean, it was incredible. Kevin needs to play really well, but that's what Kevin Durant does. You know, he's going to get 30-plus, I think. I think he'll rebound. He's certainly going to block some shots and get some steals. He's got to get to the free throw line. I hate to say it because I'm not implying any intent whatsoever, but clearly the way the game is officiated is going to be a major story. You know, the difference in the game that P.J. Tucker was allowed to really be physical and it took Kevin out of the game. Kevin, for one of the few times, he very seldom gets frustrated. He was frustrated that day in Milwaukee. But how the game is yesterday, Bucks took 28 free throws to 14 for the Nets. Now, I don't think the game was officiated differently yesterday, but it will be important for tomorrow's result. It's going to be a veteran crew. It's going to be guys that are used to play working the final. At least two of them will be finals referees, if not all three. But how that game is called, what they let P.J. Tucker do with Kevin in particular, and maybe what they let the Nets do with Giannis in the paint and with the block charge calls are going to be big in terms of determining the outcome.
P.J. Carlesimo with us. He'll be on the call game 7 of the Nets and the Bucks tomorrow night on ESPN Radio. You touched on Giannis before. A popular narrative, Coach, has been that Giannis should be on Durant more. He should want that defensive challenge more. What's your take on it?
I don't know that I have no idea what he wants or doesn't want. The game that everybody was crying about putting him on him more was you can't put him on him the whole game because he's going to foul out. He did foul out, everybody forgets, of game 5. They couldn't afford to put him on him late in the game. He was in foul trouble. He was about to foul out of the game. I think if you're going to put Giannis on Kevin, you're going to save it. You're going to save that as long as the game's not getting out of hand. You're going to save it till down the stretch. Again, people forget, Milwaukee led most of that game for a big chunk of it by a big margin. And they caught him late. It's going to be interesting to see how the game unfolds. There's a history there that I'm not aware of. Mike Budenholzer knows, and Giannis knows. Giannis may want it. Giannis may want no part of it, but he's played KD enough over the years. Not this year, certainly, and Kevin was out, obviously, most of last year, but there's a history there. He's played him, even though they were in different conferences for most of the time. And I don't know whether he's had success or not had success. I can't imagine anybody in their right mind that would want to guard KD, but they may have to put Giannis on him for sure because the other guy, Drew Holiday, is an excellent defender. He's too small to cover him. He can maybe keep Kevin a little bit further away from the basket because he moves his feet so well, but Kevin just shoots over Drew like he's not even there. Chris Middleton's bigger, but still Kevin's able to go over him. Tuck is the best matchup because he just whacks him. I mean, he just beats him up the whole game. If they let him do that, that's probably the best thing he can do about Kevin. He does a good job denying him the ball and being real physical and wedging himself in there on the screens and hitting him when it's a pick and roll. But again, that game, what KD does so well when he's rebounding like he did the other night, he's taking the ball up the middle of the floor. So there's no shot for the defense to get back and get set up. You know, he gets a rebound, and here he comes up the floor, and it's not necessarily that he's going coast to coast or that, you know, he's making a pass, but you can't set your defense up. You know, sometimes you can't even get the matchup you want because his rebounding and his ball handling allows him to get up and get into the offense quicker. So I do think Tuck's the best matchup. I don't know what it would be like. I know Mike Budenholzer knows and Giannis knows. If he was really good at it, they'd be doing it. It makes me think it either hasn't worked in the past or they're just absolutely terrified that he's going to get in foul trouble when he does it.
PJ, you alluded to it earlier. What does a game like this mean for Giannis in particular?
I think it's big, bigger than it should be because there's no question. I mean, you know, has he solidified it? Of course he has. But, you know, it's like talking about, I don't mean to equate them to the same thing, but like they said, well, Karl Malone and John Stockton never won a championship. You know, sometimes the circumstances are what the circumstances are. You know, I don't think the Bucks have lost. The Bucks have had the best record in the league total the last 3 years. For two of the 3 years, they had the best record in the regular season. Giannis has been an MVP. I mean, you can't do much more. But you're judged by playoffs. There's no question about that. And in this case, unfortunately, he is going against, you know, one of the premier players, I think, in the history of the league, but certainly in the league right now. So, yeah, everybody's going to say it would be a very significant step if the Bucks win and Giannis has a big game. I think it would be a big step for him. It would just, you know, quiet people, be able to say, yeah, but they, you know, they got to a conference final and they got to an NBA final. Fair or unfair, I don't know, but for sure the narrative will be if they're unsuccessful and he doesn't have particularly good stats, that will be the narrative until he can put that behind him.
All right, last one. If you had to bet on one role player who will have the biggest effect or who needs to have the biggest effect on this game, who would you take in an instance like that?
I think he's better than a role player, but I think Joe Harris for Brooklyn. And I think, I don't even know that he's going to play. He's gotten very little minutes for Milwaukee, but I'm not going to be surprised if Bryn Forbes gets a run and knocks down some threes because they are just hurting so much. I thought Pat Connaughton was going to do it last night. He may very well do it, but there's some a bunch of three-point shooters on both of these rosters that have done that successfully all year, but that have struggled in it. Like Jeff was one I wouldn't have expected, but somebody's going to pull a Jeff Green, a 7-for-8 or a Bogdanovich like the other night. If somebody can do that, that could very well decide the game.
I think
it's going to be a three-point shooter.
Yeah, I mean, with Green the other night, I don't think it gets enough attention. If that game gets to 25 in the first half as opposed to 17 or 18, if yep. Green doesn't hit those shots, they're in trouble.
Oh, without question. It was just the reason it was overshadowed was, I don't know what word to use. It was like otherworldly what KD did.
Yep.
So you didn't notice just how great a game Jeff Green had. It was unbelievable. I don't think they have to be as good as Jeff was, but somebody's got to make some threes, I think, will be the story.
PJ, thanks so much for the time. Appreciate it. Looking forward to the call tomorrow night on ESPN Radio.
Yeah, same here, Chris. Thank you. Sean and I are really looking forward to it.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.